Thank you for joining us on the Children's Church of Christ podcast. We're glad you're here, and we hope that this message speaks to you in a way that helps you walk and live in community with God and in His kingdom this week. God bless you in your journey. Go sit down.
All right. I got three mics going. I got this one, I got this one, I got this over here.
Okay.
Surely with three mics, one of them is going to work for the rest of the day. Been trying to fix those, but man, they are not cooperating with me. Good morning. It's good to be with you. I'm glad to be back up here and glad you're with us. We're going to talk about Acts chapter 15. We read it. We've seen it a couple of times. If you want to turn over there, we're going to finish the end of Acts chapter 15. We're going to talk about Paul and Barnabas. We're going to get to that in just a second. I titled this lesson, It's Not Me, It's You, because we're going to talk about conflict. We're going to talk about conflict, and usually it's not, I don't have the problem, you do, right? We're going to talk about issues. And people asking me, every time I wear a tie, I get the same answer. I get the same thing. What are you wearing a tie for? Why are you so dressed up? You don't usually wear ties. And my answer today was, when you're going to talk about something serious, people have to take you seriously. So you guys don't take me seriously unless I have a tie on. So I've got to dress the part, right? We're going to talk about conflict, okay? And these are not fun lessons, not always fun lessons, but I think we're going to learn a lot from this story today. That maybe we don't always think about. Before we do, I got two little housekeeping things, okay? April 27th, I know we're probably going to talk about it in family time, but April 27th, ladies, we are having a ladies' day here, a spiritual time, a Saturday where you guys can get together. We've got a speaker coming in. It's going to be a great morning / afternoon for you ladies to get together and fellowship and learn and do stuff together. There's a potluck after it. If you're going, they're asking you to bring some food. There's no cost to come, just food. Just bring food, right? There's a sign-up sheet down here for you to sign up for things. Come enjoy the afternoon together. A lot of work's been put into that, so I hope that's great for you. And next week, I'm just going to mention it because I can't stop not mentioning food. Next week is April 21st, and we're going to have potluck. And we did this a couple months ago where we did a themed potluck where we did a chili cook-off. And it was really, really fun, and a lot of people came. We had a lot of great chilies. And this time, we're going to do an Italian one. We're going to do an Italian potluck. We'd like to theme it, do it a little different, have a little bit of fun. So we're not really going to judge anything, I don't think. Amber hasn't told me we are. But you can bring your best chicken Alfredo or lasagna or spaghetti or desserts or salad or Italian stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun, okay? I hope you can come and do that with us next week. Okay, that's all the housekeeping. It's not you, it's me. You know, the world is full of conflict, right? We've talked about this. Andrew, when he spoke the first time he spoke to us, that was one of the things that he said, and it's been a theme that we've talked about as we've gone, right? The world is in conflict, and sometimes it's Satan attacking the church. Sometimes there's just things going on around us that there is conflict everywhere. And some of it's serious, and some of it's not so serious. Some of it kind of is confounding, like why it even exists, like, you know, flat earth versus round earth. Why is this even a thing, right? This is actually a conflict in the world right now. There are people who are fighting over whether or not the world is round or flat. Now, if you're on which side of the camp you're on in here, we're not going to get into that. But I don't know why this is even a thing, right? Conflict. It's a silly one. What about this one? Coke versus Pepsi. Which one's better, right? Who's better in this conflict? I know where some of you sit on this. Right? What is the better cola? And of course, we all know the answer to this. Dr. Pepper. Right? I mean, that's how this works. Okay? That is the correct answer. Or things that are really serious. right? Things that really matter in this world, right? About where do you line up in this conflict, right? I'm just going to say that no matter where you line up in this conflict, you've probably lost a whole lot more than you've won, right? This is just the way this works, okay? The world is in conflict everywhere. Some are silly. Some don't mean anything. Some don't matter at all. And some are pretty serious. Some things in this world are pretty serious that we have to talk about. And one of the things that we're going to be faced with this morning is conflict in the church, right? I don't know what church this is and where this happened. I certainly hope it was staged, right? I hope it was just done for a picture. But you got two people fighting in the middle of a worship service. Conflict exists, right? And a lot of times inside of the church body, no one likes to talk about it. We don't like to bring up conflict. We don't like to talk about disagreement. We want to present the picture that everything is hunky-dory all the time. Hunky-dory, do people still say that? I just did. We want to present this good picture to the world that everything is fine. But if you are in a church and you deal with people and we deal with opinions and we deal with things, guess what? There's going to be disagreement. There's going to be things that we can't always see eye to eye on. And the way we respond to it, the way we tackle it as a church and as a body, says more to the church or to the world about who we are than trying to present a perfect little picture. Right? We want to have the right way to respond. We want to look at it scripturally about how things work. And so we're going to look at one of those stories. This is kind of a crazy part of scripture. A little five verses at the end of Acts 15 where Jacob last week presented this entire, we gave him a chunk of scripture to go through. I mean, Acts 15, that whole conference is a really thing. He did a wonderful job of talking to us about grace and about how the Jews and the Gentiles were trying to figure out how to come together, how to make this all work. And it says, sometime later, this is at verse 36, right after they get finished doing all of that work. Sometime later, we don't know how long, but sometime. Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. That's it. That's our five verses of disagreement, right? Five verses of disagreement. And just really quickly, I want you to remember, just so we set some context, okay? And in Acts, a few chapters ago, Paul and Barnabas started off on their, what we call the first missionary journey, and they took John Mark with them, okay? And about chapter 13 of Acts, John Mark goes home. He leaves, doesn't tell us why, doesn't tell us what was going on through his mind. It just says that he left, and he went back home, okay? And Paul and Barnabas continued and finished their journey, and then they come back home. And so Paul wants to go visit again. He wants to go visit some people, people he's seen, people he helped establish, and Barnabas is all for it, and they're going to go, okay? But they didn't want to take, Paul didn't want to take John with him. And there was a disagreement, okay? There was a conflict here. And I think sometimes we like maybe put Paul and Barnabas and Silas and Luke and all these big people in the faith up on pedestals, like they didn't have problems and they handled everything correctly at all times. You know, they're apostles, and so of course God told them how to handle this perfectly. But maybe they didn't. I don't know. We're going to talk about it. But I first just want to say, just real quick, okay, that conflict will always exist. There will always be conflict, okay? I don't care if you're Paul or Barnabas or pillars of the faith that you look up to, names that you'd put there, there will always be conflict because we're dealing with people, right? The church is full of people, and people don't always do things right. Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we say things we're not supposed to. Sometimes we don't go where we're supposed to go or show up when we're supposed to show up. There will always be conflict. We can't get away from it. We have to deal with it a right way and an appropriate way. But conflict will always exist, okay? And our response to conflict is one way to show the world that we're different. One way to show the world that we're following a different path. We've seen the way the world responds to conflict, okay? A lot of times it's with more conflict. It's with more fighting. It's as technology has grown, it's become more violent, right? With more guns and more weapons and more division. And I don't think that's what we're going to see here as we go through this. But I don't think that we need to walk around in our head thinking that we'll never encounter this. Okay? That even in the Children's Church of Christ, as we journey through life together, that there will be conflict here. There will be conflict in this building, right? There'll be conflict between people that we love. It's gonna happen. It always will. It always has. But there are some important things to point out when we talk about conflict. Okay? I think we have to resist an urge to do what the world does, okay? And generally in conflict, when two people are fighting, when two things are going on, there's this urge to draw the line in the sand and say, which side do you land on, right? We did that a little bit in fun this morning, right? Which side do you land on? Whose side do you take? But we have to resist that urge to do that. I've done it my entire life with this story. Maybe you have, when you read this and you go, okay, Paul and Barnabas, they had a conflict, something happened, and they separated. Who's right? Who was right in this conflict, right? Yeah, Barnabas. His whole life, his whole scriptural life that we know of, talks about encouragement and talks about people being the person that reaches out to other people that maybe no one else wants to. Maybe the first time we're introduced to Barnabas, he's doing what? He's helping Paul be established in the church because Paul has a somewhat risky background, right? People don't know if they can trust Paul yet, and so Barnabas reaches out. Barnabas takes him by his side. They do some work together in the church of Antioch so he can establish himself. And then they go out and do mission work together. And man, Barnabas is this encourager. He is a person that takes people along for the journey, on the ride with them. And here he is with John Mark, who has gone before, didn't finish the journey, went home. And I don't think Barnabas was probably very happy with that either, honestly, when they went on a journey to lose someone that's going with them. But here he is saying, hey, let's take him with us again, right? Let's bring him along again. Let's give him another shot, right? We've given Peter, I mean, how many shots has Peter gotten, right? Peter's getting all the time he gets to come back. Maybe he looked at Paul and said, Paul, who are you to tell someone that they shouldn't get a second opportunity to do good things for God? Let's bring John with us and give him that opportunity. And we stand on one side. We hear all that and we go, yeah, I'm with Barnabas. That's the way we should be. That's great. We should be encouragers. We should be giving people second chances. And then there's Paul. Paul, who wants to go journey through some lands he's been in that weren't very comfortable for them when they first went through them. They were stoned. They were in put in prison, they were beaten, they were made to live within an inch of their life, right? As they journeyed through some of these places trying to teach about God, and guess who wasn't there with them? John Mark. He left before it even got hard. He went back home. And maybe Paul's saying, listen, I need to be able to trust the people that are on the journey with me. I need to know that they're going to show up for me, that they're going to be there for me. I need to know that they're going to teach good faithfulness to these brothers and sisters that we're going to go visit. I need people we can trust. This is important work, and it's hard work, and I don't want to be deserted again. And maybe we hear that and we go, yeah, I'm like Paul. That's the type of people I want to be around. So now I'm on this side. I've kind of snuck over here with Paul a little bit. I'm like, yeah, that sounds right. I understand why Paul wouldn't want to take John Mark with him. I understand why Barnabas would want to take him. So we've come full circle to say who was right. Who was right? It doesn't answer that question for us. The scripture doesn't tell us if this was a right or a wrong thing. It doesn't tell us that someone was sinful or not. And as people of God, we have to resist the urge to try to make sides where there are none. Sometimes in conflict, when we're dealing with people who are in disagreement with us or with others, that's what the world does. We try to surround ourselves with the people who take our side. And then that divide between people just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, right? We have people that are now fighting about things they weren't even involved in. Making accusations or talking about stuff, or I could just hear it. I could just hear the people who surrounded themselves with Barnabas. You know, well, John Mark is this way. They don't even know the guy. Never even met him. You know, but they're taking sides. I think if we're going to be different than the world when it comes to conflict, we have to resist that urge. Now, you got to remember that what we're talking about here, I don't think, comes down to this, a black and white, this is a, what's the biblical term we use that doesn't exist in the Bible? A salvation issue, right? That term doesn't exist, by the way. But we say it a lot, right? We're not talking about things that are black and white, death, burial, resurrection type stuff, okay? Paul and Barnabas are fighting over whether or not they should take somebody on a journey with them. But what happens? Do they resolve that conflict? Do they come up with a good solution? Do they come up with a compromise? Not really. You know what it says? There's another church word we don't like to use. They separated. They split. Right? They formed two different people, two different missionary journeys. They divided. They couldn't come to a conclusion that would allow Paul to think about taking John Mark, and Barnabas wanted to take him. And so the best option was, you go your way, I'll go my way. We don't always like that answer. We don't always like that answer because we want to solve stuff. If you're like me, you don't like to live in a place where there is no resolution. You don't like to live in a place where the best option is to kind of go your own separate ways. I've been conditioned, biblically maybe, certainly church culture, I've been conditioned to say we have to solve all the problems. And sometimes there's not a way to do that. Sometimes there's not a way to do that. But we're not done with the story, okay? We're going to get back to this. If we're going to be different in how we see conflict, then we have to make sure that we take that what could have been used or meant for evil, okay, God can use for good, okay? So here's what I mean by that. I'm sure that in this moment, Paul and Barnabas separating, two pillars of the faith at this time, two missionaries who have done great work in the world, are now having conflict and splitting. They're not together, and that opened a door, an opportunity for Satan, who is very smart and is very good at what he does, to start putting wedges in places and infiltrating and making people think things they shouldn't think. Satan is very good at doing that. But God is better at what he does than what Satan does. God took something that maybe could have been really evil, could have done some big harm, and he did something pretty awesome with it. You know what the end of chapter 15 tells us? That Barnabas And John Mark went on their way, and they did good things, and we'll see that in other parts of Scripture, where they were successful in the task at hand to go be a missionary and go on a journey towards Cyprus and do wonderful things. And you know what else we're going to see? Is that Paul took Silas and met up with Timothy and took Luke with him, and they did some amazing things going the other direction. Right? They both were able to accomplish good for the kingdom, even though they weren't with each other anymore. God took something that could have been detrimental and did something amazing with it, right? Now two places in the world were getting to hear the gospel and the knowledge of God through two pillars in the faith and great places doing wonderful things. What could have been meant for evil, God can use for good. And I think it's important for us to think about that as we talk about our life. So we talk about conflict with people. That sometimes with people, separations happen. Sometimes conflict ends that way, and we don't like it, and it's not always the best, and it's probably not exactly what God wants for all of us, but He can still use it. He can still do good things with it. Our job is to not think about the people who left and maybe be praying, well, I hope their ministry doesn't make it. You know, they should have been with us. So I hope it's nothing good comes from that. I'm not going to pray for them because they separated from us. And I don't think that was right. Those are not good attitudes, right? Those are not good things to be doing. That's how evil creeps in. That's how Satan gets into our minds and into our hearts, right? Instead of thinking about God using things for good. And then there's this last one, and this is really a big one, right? Our conflict should not destroy our love for each other. Conflict should not destroy our love and our grace with each other. Again, I know we're saying this a lot. Conflict and separation and disagreement will happen. It will happen. I don't care who's hired here. I don't care who stands up here after me or 35 years from now or who the elders are or who the congregants are that sit in the pews. There will be disagreements here. We won't always see eye to eye, right? And I'm not going to stand up here. Just hear this part. Please, if you hear nothing else, I'm not up here advocating that if you have a disagreement, you should leave. Okay? That is not what I'm asking you to do. Okay? I hope and pray that whatever disagreements we have here and whatever form they come, we can work them out in love and grace and humility and be in the same building, right? That's my wish for everyone. But there may become a time when something happens when you say, I don't know if I can do that anymore. I don't know if there's a way to resolve this, but I wish you the best. And I'm going to go do my own thing, and you're going to do your thing, and we're both going to be great, and our conflicts should never destroy our love for each other. Our conflicts should never come between our brotherhood or our sisterhood or who we are. It didn't here, right? Again, we're not talking about black and white, death, burial, and resurrection things. We're talking about personality differences. We're talking about trust, maybe. We're talking about relational things. We're talking about things where you can have an opinion. Both Paul and Silas's opinions were okay. They had to make a choice. But their conflict didn't destroy their love. And you know how I know that? Because when you go through Scripture, you see some pretty amazing things. When you go into 1 Corinthians and you read about Paul and he's talking to the Corinthian church in his letter there and he says, hey, people should deserve to be paid for their labor, right? They're worthy of their wages. You know who he talks about there? Barnabas. He says Barnabas is a co-laborer. Barnabas is a co-brother, a co-warrior in the church with me. In the kingdom of God, he is doing amazing things, and he should be paid for it. He should be taken care of because he's doing amazing things. Paul didn't hold any ill will towards Barnabas, even though they weren't doing ministry together. They were doing God things. And God, and Paul says he should be taken care of. You know who else he mentions? If you got a Bible, you can. I just want you to kind of see this if you've never seen it. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul, as he's finishing his letter to Timothy, who's in Ephesus, he starts talking about some people. And in chapter 4, verse 11, this is kind of crazy to me. He says, all these people have left me. All these people are gone, whether through sickness or because they've turned to the world. I'm by myself. The only one I have left is Luke. Luke is the only one with me. And then he says, get Mark and bring him with you. Now catch this. Because he is helpful to me in my ministry. Who? John Mark? The same guy you said you couldn't trust? The same guy you said, hey, I don't think he should come with us on this journey. He now writes to Timothy and says, go get Mark. I need him because he is helpful to me. I need him for my ministry. If you think Paul left this conflict with hatred towards these people, we would be sorely mistaken, right? He wanted their work to be good. He wanted their work in the kingdom to be great. And when he needed him, when he wanted to deal with him again, they were still brothers and people who worked together. Man, that is such a different view of conflict than what we see in the world, right? In the world, we see conflict and people destroy each other's reputations. They turn families and people against each other. They separate and they want nothing to do with anybody else because they disagreed over most likely something opinionated, personal, or silly. And in the church, when we face conflict, when we face disagreements, I think we learn that we should love each other, we should act in grace, we should find ways to help and not hinder other people's ministries. We should join them in any way that we can, when we can. But we don't take sides. And we don't allow Satan to creep in and do evil things where God can use it for good. I think it's important for us as we talk about ministry, as we move forward with who we are as a church. We started this journey through the book of Acts, not just because we wanted to read the book of Acts, not just because we thought, we haven't read that in a long time. We started it because we believe that it told us, as a church, how do we deal with transition? How do we deal with questions about where we go? How do we think about the Spirit and how He is leading us? And we have so many stories we have talked about the Spirit teaching us how to deal with things as we go. And one of the things we're going to have to deal with is conflict. One of the things we're going to have to deal with is disagreement. Don't take sides. Don't push people away. Act out of grace and love. And I think we'll show the world a much better way to deal with disagreements with each other and with them when we face them. Right? This church family loves you and wants you to be a part of it. We're not perfect. We talked about it a lot this morning, right? We're not perfect. There will be things that we don't always get right. But we still want you to be a part of it. We still want to walk beside you and with you. If you're ready to do that, you can do that with baptism, with prayer, talking to people. We're always ready and willing. We want you to be a part of this journey. I want to walk with you, even in our disagreements. I want to be partners with you in the gospel. Let's show the world a better way, right? Let's show the world a better way. If we can help you in any way, let's stand together and sing.